When I think back on it, there are all these small moments of just like a random assortment of people that you're having a conversation about. There's no other place you could just have a chat with Adele and Harkus McFargus about bodega sandwiches. You know what I mean? That can't happen anywhere else. Those are the special moments to me.
Thank you, everybody, for coming and providing Ticho with special bodega sandwich moments. ShoeCast. Welcome to the Stitch Down ShoeCast, where we talk quality footwear, how it's made, and all the things we love about it. I'm Ben from StitchDown.com, and we've got the inimitable Ticho Blanco here, who today has forced me to talk about boot camp, the fine leather footwear gathering slash world's fair of boots and shoes and leather and tools slash big old community party that we just put on about a week and a half ago in Industry City, Brooklyn. I mean, the whole thing was an absolute blast, just with an incredible group of footwear lovers and makers. And we'll be doing it again next year, October 13th and 14th, 2024, at the same location, but with double the space. So I suppose, kind of against my better urges, that it makes sense to fondly reminisce about what this year's boot camp was and what it might be next year. We've got a ton of incredible attendee feedback that we'll talk about in the episode. Basically, just like watch me turn this into a live taped brainstorm session to fix everything that could have been better and enhance what was already great. So thanks for that, Ticho. Before we get into it, just wanted to thank our sponsor this week, Nick's Boots, who absolutely slayed it at boot camp and continues to make one of the most indestructible and damned handsome pieces of footwear available anywhere in the world. Check out their YouTube channels for so much behind-the-scenes video and plenty more. And go give their boots a look at nicksboots.com. And the Stitch Down Premium Discord community was out in full effect at boot camp. It was absolutely incredible to hang with hundreds upon hundreds of people who I talk to every day in the Discord, but had previously only been extremely clever internet names to me. The community honestly never felt stronger. Man, was it special to see everybody. We can't all hang out in person every day, unfortunately. But if you want to get a taste of what we're building in there together, and of course, support this very ShoeCast, check out StitchDown.com for more info on SDP and the Discord. All right, Ticho, let's get after this thing. You came to boot camp. What did you think of boot camp?
I love boot camp, man. I mean, I am always here for any kind of gathering of the shoe people, the boot people. But this one went hard, man. Just the scale of it. I knew you were going pretty big with it, but it was pretty gigantic. So many people, like you said, that you talk to in the Discord, you recognize them from the Discord, and you just walk up and smartly on the little name tags that everybody had, you went name tags, you know, stole that idea, I guess, from that Seinfeld episode. Everyone should have name tags. Was super helpful because people would come up, you'd start talking to them, and then you'd look down and be like, oh, I know who you are. You're K-Van Dev. It was really cool to just make all those connections and have that right there available so that people didn't have to like awkwardly be like, yeah, I'm and then say their kind of strange Discord name if they have one.
Yeah, it was very intentional and like legit a big point of focus. I was like, we need like 1,000 Sharpies because everybody needs to be encouraged, but everybody kind of wanted to do it. People would come up to me and like with their name tag like thrust towards me, be like, hey, look, it's me, like so-and-so from the Discord, like so-and-so from Instagram. And I was like, I know exactly who you are. This is great. So yeah, I love that part. I think that it just encouraged openness with everybody and ease of introduction. Because I mean, look, you know better than anybody. Like I feel like 5 years ago, you gave me some stat on how many internet boot and shoe people that you'd hung out with. Keeping a spreadsheet, it seemed like. Like, yeah, I'm up to, you know, damn near 200 people that I've like hung out with literally all around the world. You're an expert at this. Like, you invented hanging out with people from the internet in real life. To see everybody doing it was pretty incredible. And we've seen that at like all our smaller events. I mean, this was the biggest one yet. Some of the small ones weren't terribly small, but even going back to the first one that we did in New York 2 years ago, right? It was like as soon as you could travel or people felt comfortable traveling after COVID, but kind of still in the midst of it, we all met in Madison Square Park at, I couldn't even tell you what time because I was late because I was like no longer a city boy and got on the wrong train for a little while. And so I roll up and everybody was there and somewhat standing around like ever so slightly awkwardly for like 5 seconds. And then it all just started. It's like, oh my God, it's Frank. It's whoever. You know, we all started talking. We all like talking to each other throughout the course of then, like, I mean, that was basically 2 full days. Very quickly becomes obviously like about boots and whatnot, but also not exclusively about that. And I think that there was obviously a lot of boot talk at this thing, but like so much more, you know, and I really dug it. And I think that a lot of people did too.
Even like pretty brief conversations I had with people where they were like, what's up, man? Like, we were just talking about the trains, you know, in the Discord, or we were just talking about obscure pizzerias down near where I live, you know, and you're just like, and you immediately are like, I know this guy. Instead of just meeting a bunch of strangers, you're just meeting a bunch of friends for the first time, you know, people that you already have a relationship with, but you haven't met in person before. There is always that little bit of awkwardness at the beginning where you're like, we know each other online, but like, are we going to get along in person? You know, this didn't really have any of that. It just kind of, people just went in and were like, you know what? We all showed up to this thing. So we all are kind of agreeing to socialize with each other and become friends and get to know each other better and continue those online conversations in person. Except now all the boots are here, right? We talk about these things all the time. We're taking pictures of them. We're, you know, talking about sizing here. Now we're trying them on. I don't think I stopped talking for 2 full days. I think I was just constantly talking to someone or a group of people. And that's pretty special. It's pretty cool. Just kind of shows what kind of community, you know, you've kind of built up in Stitchdown.
Yeah. Sorry that you had to talk for 2 days straight. I know you must have hated that. It's like your least favorite thing.
Yeah, it was great. I love talking about boots, man. You know, I spent the second day pretty much just like sizing people. Like, I think I brannicked maybe 50 to 75 people, maybe more than that. We had like a whole set of try-on boots for like the Iron Boots Chosen One last, which were like so nice that people were like, so how much are these? You know, can I just buy one of these? And I was like, this is just like a trial shoe. You know, it's just for sizing, you know, but they look kind of nice. And
they look great. Yeah. I mean, they didn't even have like kind of, I mean, they had soles on them, but not necessarily the one that you probably wanted on an actual boot to wear all the time. But dude, I got in that Chosen One last and I was like, Cheng, give me a second here. Let's try this thing on. I still have this pair of original Iron Boots, like from the day in the 55-15 last, which I really dig. And it's just kind of funkiness and, you know, like completeness in a way. Like, it's a very, very well thought out last. Looks great with a toe cap on it. But there's like some instep stuff going on for me that doesn't quite work. So it's been a bummer, right? Like, I still have these things. I want to just kind of look at them all the time, but I can't really wear them. And that Chosen One last 10 and a half. Fit great. Got it. Okay. And that was a huge focus going into it, right? Like, how do you come to this thing? And it's not just pictures on the internet and like some incredible sizing advice from you or Cheng or, you know, or somebody in the Discord online, but you actually get to confirm it and then obviously like feel the product and feel the weight and look at the construction. Yeah, it all just becomes so real. And a lot of this stuff nobody has access to at all. And then some of it you can go to a store, but in New York, love all the New Yorkers that were there. Good excuse to skip out of work on a Friday or come down on Saturday. But dude, there were people from everywhere, like everywhere. I met a wonderful man from Alaska and his dad, I'm pretty sure. Like, people were bringing their parents to this thing. Like, their parents loved it. But they were from literally everywhere. And it was incredible to see people believe in something that didn't exist previously and hadn't quite proven what it could be. And they took a chance on it. And those people made it what it was.
Yeah, there was, you know, people bringing their brothers, people bringing, you know, all sorts of people. They're like, yeah, this is my brother. He doesn't really know anything about this stuff. But, you know, he's just testing the waters a little bit. And then, like, you know, an hour or two later, you just, you know, you see the brother trying on his new Vibergs he just picked up from the sample sale, you know, and you're like, yeah, it's happening. This thing can really accelerate so many parts of the journey that we've kind of talked about on here a bunch of times where I just think of all the time I spent buying stuff that didn't fit and going through all this research to try to figure out how things would fit. online for especially obscure stuff. And it's like, I could have just shown up to boot camp, you know, and that would have just taken care of like 4 years of that in 2 days.
Yeah, it is pretty helpful for limiting folly, let's say, and just knowing that you like something in addition to how it fits, that it looks good, that it feels right, that it kind of matches with what you want out of something. Yeah, speaking of brothers, both my brothers came to the event. One of them lives in Hoboken, so it wasn't too much work for him, but God bless him. Yeah, the other one came from DC, and I was like, this is so great. They both like boots. One of them was wearing some Aldens, the other one had some Thursdays on, and they were representing. That was pretty special to me on a personal note.
You know, after, I think the first day, it was going down to the after party, and, you know, saw your brother, who I've met a couple times before, and he was like, this is our other brother. And I was like, there's another Robinson brother? And he's like, yeah, here it is. And then he said like one word, and I was like, yeah, that's him, because he was like, ah, hello. I was like, oh, Jesus. There's two
I should
of them.
Just have them start sitting in on this podcast for me. Nobody would know.
And then they're like, oh, well, you know, we have a sister, too. I'm like, what are you guys talking about? I had no clue any of these other siblings existed. You've kept a tight lid on your personal life, even from, you know, some of your closest associates here, Ben.
We all love shoes. That's all that matters. Thank you, brothers, for coming. Brothers, everybody's brothers and sisters and everybody who came, like having the crazy thought this was going to be worth it to travel from wherever, from Midtown or Alaska or further. You were an exhibitor. You did a great job. Cheng did a great job. Actually, let's tell the Cheng story right now before I actually get to my question. There were three major, the event was on Friday, Saturday, and on Thursday, we're like, is this stuff going to show up? And it feels like it might not. From three brands, two landed on Thursday, kind of later in the day. It was like, all right, we got them there. But then there was Cheng, who I was talking to on the phone and texting with. Cheng was kind of in a dark place midweek because of what, I guess? Like, this is your story to tell.
As we're like figuring out, you know, what we're doing for this thing, the logistics of it, you know, and you had like a great team of people that were organizing everything.
Shout out Kate, Devin, Ava, the AV guys, Bradley, Jeff, like shout out everybody. They all just aced it so hard.
They were like, okay, well, like, you know, you can ship your stuff to us. You could, you know, whatever. And I was like, no worries. I live in New Jersey, like an hour from the venue. I'm just going to have Cheng ship everything to my house. And then I'll just bring it in myself. That'll be pretty straightforward. Will give us a little bit more kind of control over it. He could ship it out kind of early, right? Because it was a bunch of stuff coming directly from China.
Okay. And again, Cheng, for those who don't know, is kind of the U.S. guy for iron boots, which are made in Guangzhou, China.
Yeah. So we had all these fitting shoes, right? A whole size range of fitting shoes from like 6 to 13. A bunch of new samples, tote bags, like display stuff, all this stuff that the Iron Boots guys in China kind of, you know, with Cheng kind of cooked up, and we're like, okay. So they shipped it out in like mid-September, right? They were like, we'll get this done early, ship it out a couple weeks ahead of time, get it to my house, and then it'll just, you know, sit in my basement, whatever. I'll bring it over there on the Thursday before, right? And I've got tracking for like, I think it's like 8 packages or something. And I'm just checking on it. Nothing. It's just in the ether. No update. It's in probably like Chinese customs. The Wednesday before boot camp, still nothing. And so we're like, well, damn, like, all right, well, none of this stuff is going to show up. There's no way it's going to just suddenly come up. Cheng was like, I think I got to call Ben. I got to tell him the whole thing's off. I can't do it. None of my stuff's showing up. We were on the phone because you called me after that to be like, dude, this is grim. Like, what's the deal? And I look, and I've got an email from UPS that's like, update, delivery date updated to like tomorrow. And I'm like, oh my God. It's like a boot camp miracle.
Like, it really was. Wasn't it like, it was like one package cleared, second package cleared. And we're like, oh wait, it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's happening. I think I'd even said to him like earlier in the day, like, it's going to take a miracle to get these things there. It hadn't updated at all. It says it's going to show up on the Thursday before. We're like, oh my God, that's amazing. It became clear it was probably going to show up on Friday during the day. And I was like, all right, well, we could cobble something together for Friday. Between the two of us, we've got a bunch of iron boots, right? We've got a bunch of stuff. We can at least display something and just be there talking to people. It's ultimately a person-on-person experience, right? And if we show up and communicate well and talk to people, that's as good as we could do. That's what we went with for Friday. A shout out to my father-in-law for lugging 8 boxes and putting them in my garage. Because I was like, I got like a bunch of stuff and really blow at this point for it to just like get stolen off of my porch, rained on, or like who knows. My original plan was like, I'm going to come hang out. Like, you know, a bunch of homies are in town for this. There's an after party. There's all this stuff going on. I was like, I'll just stay in Brooklyn. So I was like, all right, well, I'm just going to go home, grab this stuff. I'll come back, get back here early Saturday. We'll set this thing up. It all showed up on, except for one box of tote bags. Chang had these sick tote bags made that went quick. Like people were grabbing them, people were walking by, like we're like, oh, are you just giving out these tote bags? We're like, yes, yeah, please take a tote bag. But they disappeared within like a couple of hours, and there was a whole second box of them that eventually showed up like a week later. It took forever. It must have been way lost in some UPS facility. But
everybody go to Ticho's house, get your tote bags.
Yeah, I am trying to just give these things away. Chang was like, I really don't want to ship these back to California, so can you find someone to give them away? I shipped one to our buddy Brandon, who couldn't make it, but like saw a picture of them and was just like, oh, those are great tote bags, you know? So I stole like a, I won't say stole, I acquired legally a large amount of the beer that was left over.
It was a little leftover beer. Shout out Untitled Art from Madison, Wisconsin, which we made an incredible one collaboration beer, 15.7% barrel-aged stout. Like we actually worked on it together and what it would be, and it came out a little stronger than I thought, but everybody seemed okay with the label. But then like a ton of just fantastic beer, IPAs, sours, I think like a Pilsner or something along those lines, and then some NA beer. Like shout out Isaac from Untitled Art and Levi, who couldn't make it, who just love boots. And that's how we got in touch in the first place. Like, I think he might've reached out to you first, like 3 years ago. It's like, let's do something together. And then we did. And everybody was really happy with all that beer, including you.
It was great. They were giving out little samples of it to people. And you could tell people were like drinking it. And then just kind of like, it was hitting them pretty good. Yeah. So then at the very end of Saturday, I saw Lucas from Knicks, who won the Thunderdome. Right. And he was just like chugging it out of the bottle. And I hope he made it home okay.
Knicks like guys.
His buddy, Big Stetson, who was amazing from Knicks, was like, he looked concerned. You might want to like eat something. Like, this looks like it's serious.
The Knicks guys were getting after it hard. And maybe we turn it back kind of towards the larger event. Great job, Chang. But yeah, when you went around the whole room, right? Big room with big windows, and until it got dark, very good light throughout, which is something that we want to work on next year in case a little overcast again. But yeah, like Knicks were over in the corner. I mean, and they were just sizing everybody down on the floor, making belts, giving away belts, which like not everybody necessarily knew about. And they're like, wait a minute, these belts are just free. And like, but it took a little while for the word to get out, which I think was good.
Yeah, I had people coming up to me being like, did you get one of those Knicks belts? And I was like,
the belts are great. They were like legit, very good belts, great hardware, cutting them to spec. It was fantastic, but they were just slam the whole time. Grant Stone next to them was the same, and they brought, I don't know, like over 100, not pairs, like individual shoes to try on to kind of maximize what they could bring. Because frankly, that's one of the toughest thing about this type of event. If you look at it in other categories, like we had Wind Up Watch shop there, and I've been to their fairs before, which are fantastic, even though I'm not really a watch guy. They're just really cool. And I'm so jealous because the logistics around getting watches, which are one, kind of small, and two, you don't need all the sizes. You don't need like 18 sizes of watch to be able to help people understand what their watch size is. It's kind of like as tough a category, at least in terms of products like this, that you could throw a show around just to get everything there. And it was incredible what everybody did. And Crown Northampton / E. Woodford, which was really represented by this. I mean, Crown brought a ton of try-on shoes. They kind of had like their samples back home, but they had a big, long, detailed list with photos of them so you could try the shoes on for size and then get them shipped. But they brought over their whole E. Woodford Handwelt workshop to New York, which was a logistical challenge in itself. It was one of the pieces that showed up right on time. God bless. I mean, that part was incredible, right? Like we had Francis Wapplinger, bespoke shoemaker in Brooklyn, who now operates out of Industry City and wheeled his workshop down the hallway. Like, he was talking with everybody. And if you ever get a chance to talk to Francis, do it, because he's just the best. He still like completed like a shoe over the course of the 2 days. It was like, damn, dude, I didn't see you working at all. Obviously he was. And then this Crown Workshop, they were both completing shoes live and you could watch them. Like, this is something that we definitely want to improve for next year, is the availability of everybody to kind of participate more, because somehow didn't anticipate the excitement and desire to do that. So we opened up a bunch of slots for people to take like a little half hour workshop and learn and then try this hand sewing themselves. And it sold out. I mean, they're kind of a free option on top of the ticket price in like 4 minutes, 50 slots. You had that going on, which was incredible, right? Like, definitely want to figure out how to have more live things occurring. Like, probably not going to roll like a Rapid E machine in next year and have people's hands near it, but maybe, I don't know, like, don't put it past them, but like the handwork portion of it was just incredible. Yeah. And so cool. And I think when I did it myself in Northampton, like, everything changes kind of in how you view this, both in terms of the process, the difficulty of it and all that, but just how a shoe actually comes together. And it's different than watching videos online. It changes you a little bit in this really, really cool way. So we definitely want to do more of that. I'm just going to go around the room a little bit more. Like, Meerman was absolutely slammed the whole time. They had five or six people, Pepe and his brother. And like, just the fact that in almost every instance, the people who run these companies and or make the footwear themselves were there. Hugo and Marie and crew over in the Unmarked booth, and Marcel, the poster baby for the whole thing. Like, he was just chilling on a couch the whole time. He's like 9 months old and the cutest kid that I've ever seen in my life. How do you not want to buy some cowboy boots from Marcel? Some funky loafers. Javier Pereira, his Guatemalan handmade shoemaking workshop in Antigua. It hit me up when the event was announced and he's like, hey, I would love to come to this. I had never known them before, you know, like a little blind spot there. They do all this hand-painted patina stuff, which he was doing live on rugged boots, which you don't always see. Him and his wife and their whole crew were amazing. Ed Galoon did the same thing. He's like, hey, can I come to this? It's like, yeah, this is great. Bring a whole bunch of leather. We'll get you like a really nice industrial rack that you can hang it on and you can show everybody, and the people who are there attending can see it and then go over to a brand and be like, you should buy some leather from Ed and make this. And like, that was happening. And the brand would come over and be like, all right, people seem to like this leather. I like this leather. Horween and Tannery Row had an incredible display of both historic pictures and process pictures. And then again, just all this leather for people to feel. I think that obviously it's part and parcel of everything and works so well. Viberg had what I thought was really cool. I don't know that everybody agreed. This stitched down Jordan Dunk sneaker that was just a monster. I feel like if people could have picked it up more, because it was like inside this museum case. I was very impressed by it. I kind of handled it before the show. I wish it was my size to just try them on and feel it. And then obviously they had the sample sale. Aki, because we had panels both days, just kind of asking industry questions, and one was on the importance of craft and its preservation, and it was wonderful, wonderful man, Aki Chocolat, who runs the shoe and accessories program, design and creation program at the College for Creative Studies in Detroit, was there kind of representing the school and this group that he has in Detroit called the Last Society, which is frankly, if he was like, I will sell you this name for your event for like $700,000, probably would have bought it, but it was, we already called it boot camp. Like, I was like, damn, that's a good name. And Tom Carbone, who he works with, who makes tools, some of the great bespoke shoemaking tools in the world, like Lisa Sorrell sells them. And a lot of these bespoke makers I know are like, oh yeah, this guy's legit. They had reached out a month before the show. We're like, can we come? And I was like, it's so cool that all this that I didn't really have in my scope of vision beforehand were interested and wanted to come. And then people loved it. And then one that I did, I mean, Russell Moccasin, which I've loved ever since I got my first pair 3 years ago and loved the idea before that. But people really, like, from this crew have not had the opportunity to feel them and try them on. They brought try-on pairs, Luke Colby and Joe Julian. We have a great episode with Luke. Check it out. The two new owners who are doing it right, Russell, they were there. Kevin from Caswell brought a ton of boots, a ton of try-on boots, all his new stuff, the handmade stuff. The variety I was very, very happy with. Kind of really the only complaint was, I'm really busy. I haven't eaten lunch. It was like, but we got all this Jersey Mike's. It's in the back room. I don't have time.
No, I never got there for that. Yeah, my thing for next year is I think everybody needs to just bring like an extra two or three people. Oh, shout out to Discord legend Martin, who hung out and helped us size people on Iron Boots and Brannock people.
Wait, did he really?
On Saturday. He was essential, man. I would have been so screwed without Martin. I love that guy. Just a great dude overall. I know he was helping set up the Viber sample sale and stuff. So he was very much in the mix and a great, great help.
I would shout out all the volunteers, incredible volunteers from the community and then also from without. Like, we had a whole bunch of volunteers from Brooklyn Shoe Space and Keiko, who runs it, came. It's like an amazing place to learn how to make shoes of all kinds. And they were just so game. Again, like, didn't give her a ton of heads up. She's like, I'll send this to my students. And they came down and set up. And like you mentioned, Gabe Van Dev, like, he just, you know, Discord messaged me. He's like, so I got here and I know it's like 8 o'clock in the morning and this doesn't really start until 11, kind of, but also kind of 1. And can I just like help set up? And I was like, yeah, dude, we got plenty of stuff to move around. Like, come on up. He has two Monkeys Sportif boots, which I'm a big champion of, but hadn't even ever seen a pair before. And, you know, it was just everything. Just in all these ways, it was just kind of magical just to get everybody together, right? To get everybody together.
You know, my homies from Alfargo's out in the courtyard.
Like, I'm wearing the hat right now.
You could tell the Alfargo's specific people who showed up to that. They just had better blazers than the boot guys. Sorry, boot guys.
They look real good.
Those guys are the best. Yeah, I heard you stole that hat, by the way.
I did not steal this hat.
You stole that hat. You absolutely did. I have a good authority that you stole that hat.
We had it as part of the deal that I was to receive a hat. I wanted like a slightly different one, the one that looks like the A's logo. And then I saw the hat and I said, okay, who can I pay for this hat? And my man, Stay Crispy, my friends, was like, I'm the hat guy. Take the hat.
Okay.
And then I wore it the rest of the time. I mean, maybe I owe him, you know, $30 or something. But
maybe you do. I went down. I scored the purple version of it because I already have the green one.
Lakers.
The Lakers colors. So,
yeah, I guess this is like kind of, we'll call it Oakland A's and not like Celtics or something.
Yeah, that's a classic, man. The classic.
And then it was just like all the people who came that I didn't even know were coming. Like, I knew Dale was going to come. I had been talking with Dale for a while, and Dale's like, I'm so psyched about this. And I was like, sounds like pretty Dale thing to be psyched about. And he seemed to love it. But it was like midnight after the first night out in the courtyard, because the whole place was just so cool in terms of like the brewery and the distillery and like all the restaurants that are like right outside the space. And he's there smoking cigars with Steve from Beto's as like hundreds of people flooded in and started salsa dancing like all around them. It was like, they're... Everybody's just kind of having fun. It's all meshing in these completely unexpected ways. Adele from Trickers came and she was on the panel, but she also fit our buddy, I think we should say Bob, I'm not going to dox him with the name Bob, into these bespoke Trickers boots that he had ordered when we were on our Northampton trip back in April. And, you know, she was going to make whatever adjustments she needed to and finish them up. It was so special. Adam, the bootmaker at Limber Boots, kind of the world's great custom handmade hiking boots, came and like delivered me a pair of boots, which he had finished the night before, but I didn't even know he was coming. And it's like a million hour drive from Intervale, New Hampshire. And then just introducing all these people, right? Bootmakers who they probably know each other's work, but didn't necessarily know each other to each other. And then everybody kind of talking to them, like, people are having a decent time.
You know, when I think back on it, there are all these small moments of just like a random assortment of people that you're having a conversation about. Something about shoes or something random, and you're just kind of like, there's no other place you could just have a chat with Adele and Hargis McFargus about bodega sandwiches. You know what I mean? That can't happen anywhere else. Those are the special moments to me.
Oh, man. Thank you, everybody, for coming and providing Ticho with special bodega sandwich moments. Look, let's take a quick break. We're done now talking about how wonderful this thing was. And we're going to pick it apart with some feedback from attendees. And we're going to figure out how to make it better live on air. We'll be right back with the Boot Camp Cast. Boots is very good at making some of the most indestructible, ruggedly comfortable. Yes, you have to break them in, but man, is it worth it. Boots in the entire world. But do you know what else they're great at making? The content. Nick's From Start to Finish podcast is absolutely on fire right now, dishing out customer Q&A episodes, interviews with craftspeople in and outside of Nick's that provide such a cool behind-the-scenes look at what's happening up in Spokane, and plenty more. We like podcasts. Nick's has a very fun one. Nick's YouTube channel needs no introduction, but we're going to do it anyway. If you enjoy How It's Made videos, they've got that. In-depth looks at some of the craziest stuff they've made. $3,000 Gator Mocktoe Nick's. They got that too. Historical looks at military boots and more. Yes, and yes, and yes. And of course, Nick's has a TikTok that goes behind the scenes in Spokane and dishes out helpful boot tips and tricks. So follow them all. Immerse yourself. Be extremely content with the content. We can't recommend it highly enough. Nick's Boots. And now, back to the ShoeCast. All right, we're back on the ShoeCast with Ticho. So we sent out a survey after the event, and it was, did you like it? What did you like? What didn't you like? What could be made better? Do you have any ideas? And people came with some really good ideas. I'm actually going to lead with this one from Jeff, who handled all the AV in the space. And it's fantastic. He's like, look, I also do work with Hometown Barbecue, which was right in the space. And shout out Nick Stridewise, who kind of unwrapped this massive brisket that I think he was planning on taking home. But I finally got over there like after they were closed and just allowed me to eat his brisket. It was really good. Thank you, Nick. You sustained me. But Jeff is like, what if you get a cow? All the things that can kind of happen with the cow, one of which is it can blessedly lend itself into turning into leather, but also maybe Nick's brisket, right? So what if we did that and like teamed up with Hometown and a tannery? And I texted Nick Horween last night and he's like, it can be done. Let's keep in touch about it. You know, here are some ways that it can go wrong. I kind of want to do that. I've talked to somebody about that already. From the bootmaking side, how do you make it more than just like a stunt, right? And how can people learn from it? And we're kicking around some pretty good ideas to like make the content around it.
You're saying bring a cow. Bring a cow to
boot. You don't really bring the cow to the event.
Oh, okay.
The cow meets its end in the way that they do.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know everything about that process. You take all the meat and you turn it into food for everybody. And you take the hide and you turn it into leather. And then you turn that leather into boots, and it's all there. Is that crazy?
I love that.
Is it like too on the nose?
I wouldn't trust most people to figure out how to make that work, but I feel like you can make that work. Highlight the whole, you know, the whole life cycle and all the products that are coming out of this animal. I still think you should just have a horse there that people can take a picture. I see a horse, I take a picture of its butt. I think people would love that. Just have a horse. People could go up, put their hand on its butt. Have their horse butt shoes or whatever.
We'll get a horse. We'll get a living, breathing horse next time. So anyway, we're going to explore that one. Big one that I kept hearing was more experiences where you see the product being made and can also participate. I mean, that's something that doesn't apply naturally in an event space like this that like isn't a factory to everything. But that's something that I want a ton more of. Like, I'd love to get some hand sewers from Maine. We kind of almost had that happen and it didn't work out largely for timing reasons. Russell was maybe going to bring somebody, but they need them in the factory, right? In the workshop, making stuff. Hopefully we get Crown E. Woodford back next year and Francis and just more people who make these things. And even though they're being distracted, can still do it and like help people understand. I definitely want to put an emphasis on that because it's far from the only thing that was special about it, but it really, I think, helps you appreciate everything that's on the floor when you see that happening.
You said you're getting like the upstairs space or something, right?
It's basically the identical space from this year, just up the stairs. So both of them.
Yeah, turn half of it into a Goodyear welted production line, get all the machines, and then have the hand weld, hand sew guys just right across. And you're like, here you go. You can see it side by side. Here's what goes into making a Goodyear welted boot. Here's what goes into making a hand welted boot. Take your pick. Where do you fall on it? And it could show people how freaking hard it is to make Goodyear welted boots with those machines. A lot of people will probably stitch their hands.
I don't know if we're going to let people try that in the same way. I mean, we made people sign waivers to do the E. Woodford workshop, but I don't know. We've got a year now and some momentum behind this thing. I kind of would love to get a couple big old machines in there doing it. Or maybe even from like the cobbling side, like talk with Steve and Justin Bennett from the SSIA, who we had on the show previously, and a bunch of other cobblers who weren't able to make it, but after the fact. Like, is it a live cobbling workshop? Also, shout out Isaiah from Pebble Bomb, who's shining shoes all day long, including our kind of main guy who moves shit, Diesel, who had like Legion of Doom, like Raiders fans, like spikes coming out of his boots. And Isaiah was just like, yeah, I'm just going to give these the polish that you requested, good sir.
Diesel was the man. He not only helped me steal all that beer, but then he like helped me carry all the stuff down to my car. I got stuck in the parking lot because somebody, you know, had like poured rain on Saturday, right? Like absolute crazy downpour.
Thank you, everybody, for powering through that, because there was a good crowd that came through that rain.
Somebody had put like a tried to put their ticket into the machine, like the parking to get out of the parking lot. And it just had gotten all soaking wet and just got in there. Diesel came over and just busted out a huge knife and just started jamming it into the machine, you know, trying to get the stuff out of it. He's just, you know, like aggressively stabbing this parking machine. He got me out. He freed me. So shout out to Diesel. What a great guy.
Dude, he was the best. Just absolutely indomitable man. But yeah, like I think that how do you see more of it? And maybe even like, I don't know if we can promise that people can kind of get their boots resold or something, but maybe, right? Worst case, they'll mail them to you like they normally would. But I want to see a lot more of that and things that people can both kind of witness and participate in. We're definitely going to put a big focus on that. I mean, I like this one from a social aspect. Maybe there's some sort of icebreaker thing or way to get people talking to each other. I think that happened very naturally, but the fact that there was more than one comment that put it that way, I mean, maybe people aren't kind of active online in the same way, or maybe they view more than interact in terms of either the Discord or just Instagram or Reddit or whatever it might be. How do we do an icebreaker? Let's figure this out right now.
Oof. I don't know, man. I felt like the name tags were really effective at that, too.
Enough for a lot of people, but you know, what about the people that sent in a comment like this that, for whoever they are, they weren't previously kind of involved with these groups or just didn't feel comfortable, but want to, right? Like, want an excuse. I don't know if we kind of set up a buddy system, like email people beforehand and be like, you two are connected. If you like, opt in, of course.
To just have a boot camp buddy?
Something like that. Somebody you can talk to beforehand is like the one idea that I've kind of cooked up ahead of time. Again, if you want, that you say, okay, look, I'm going to be there then and let's meet up. And once you get one person that you're talking to, it can be very easy to integrate into everything else. Maybe, I don't know.
Anybody who felt that way, I hope you came up and felt comfortable talking to me, saying what's up. I love talking to random strangers, so I'm always open to that. So next year, if you see me, just come say what's up.
Honestly, like that, I mean, I don't know if anybody listening to this is going to be like, okay, I'll remember this for next year. But there's a slight difference there, right? Like you were an exhibitor. Everybody, I think, felt very comfortable going up to the exhibitors, hopefully. I mean, everybody was just very welcoming as I saw. There are also a lot of people kind of hanging around there, right? Who you knew and were talking to each other in addition to getting sized or handling the product or whatever. So, I mean, maybe that's it, right? Like go up to the Ticho booth, go up to one of those booths that isn't totally insane and seems like people are just kind of chilling like in a good way. And the introductions can kind of flow from that. The community aspect of this is huge. There are a lot of expo type events where it wasn't like this. And if you go with your friends, you're obviously talking to them and you can talk to vendors, but didn't quite feel like this. And it was a belief that this would happen the way that it did, but you don't know. And you kind of engineer it with the name tags and whatever. It was really thrilling to see. But if somebody wants to be a part of that and didn't catch that this year, I definitely want to figure out how to just make that a little easier next year, because like the boots and stuff are great, obviously. It's like one and 1A with the community and the connection to me. I'm not the only one who felt that way after this event.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I feel like the classic icebreaker that I have whenever I'm with like a group like this, like a, you know, internet shoe people or some kind of meetup or one of these kind of events, you see somebody, just ask to talk about their shoes. Just be like, hey, nice Iron Rangers. Then you're talking.
I love those boots. What are those boots?
Yeah, what are those? You know, and people, right. Everybody who shows up to this thing is going to want to talk about their shoes probably. So that's a safe bet.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
Everybody walks around with, ask me about my shoes on their
name. Well, you even had the t-shirt that just said, oh, hey, nice boot. So I think you kind of clock that too as like, that's an icebreaker for people. Oh, hey,
I was
nice
telling
boots.
Everybody.
Yeah.
I have a bunch left over. We got to put them on the website at some point. This is a really important one that I want to break down and definitely one of the pieces of feedback that I anticipated really like before, during, and after the event and heard it from some people, but it's like a lot of guys, right? It's like kind of a lot of dudes, and there were absolutely women at this, and all of them that I spoke with were having a very good time. I love that, right? Like that's something that I want to continue to encourage, but there was some feedback around that, right? Can you figure out how to kind of make this a little less of a bro fest? And I think that there are some ways, like this is not an excuse, but more of a reality. Like, and there are brands like Grantstone had great women's footwear. Meerman had some. Unmarked had some fantastic stuff. But not everybody produces women's specific footwear. And I think that also, you know, even from like a marketing standpoint, but also manufacturing, I think that there is a lot directed at men and men's footwear that kind of meets the standards of what we wanted this event to be for the first year, that it's just exceptional in whatever way it might be. But definitely bringing in more women's specific stuff. The last thing I want is for this to kind of feel limiting or to have somebody feel kind of edged out by both the products and then the people and community that those products draw. What do we think about this? How do we kind of correct this a little bit?
It's tough. I mean, it is a boot camp, right? It does kind of skew a little bit male for most of the products and stuff that are there. So yeah, I think if you bring in more brands that have women's stuff that are going to appeal to women, and I think that could help. I think a lot of folks brought their wives, right? There were a bunch of wives walking around. I had samples I was selling. I sold a matching set to a husband and wife of these jodhpurs. I was like, this is the best. Like, they loved it. They were so stoked. It could be intimidating. You know, the week after was the shoegazing super trunk, and I brought my wife to that. Yeah, she did feel a little like, I don't know what this is going to be. Like, it's probably just going to be a bunch of stuffy dudes talking about shoes. You know, but then you get there and it's like, no, it's a bunch of super nice, welcoming people talking about shoes. Yeah, but she had a great time. On the surface, it doesn't sound like it would be appealing for like probably most people's wives or whatever. But once they get there and see like, this is just this really welcoming, kind, open community of people that share a passion for this, it's really easy to join in. It's really welcoming.
I mean, I hope so, you know, and I absolutely generally feel that way, even if the numbers don't stack up in a way where it's 50-50. I like to think that online in the Discord and in real life that there is like that openness. But to get this feedback, it means that, again, like certain people didn't feel that way. Yeah. And also, how is it, you know, the like bring your significant other thing like is great, right? Like, especially if they're not into it, but they do wear shoes and you kind of introduce it to them, and they can also kind of like get who you are and what this weird kind of obsession of yours is. I think it goes a long way. But also, yeah, like anybody who's into this, whatever gender they may be, how are they feeling like it's their place too? So send me feedback, DM me, whatever you think. But that's something that we definitely want to correct. Let's just do a couple more, and then I'm going to get back to planning the 2024 event. People want like an auction of some kind, like maybe a silent auction, which is a fun, probably more reasonable type of auction. I don't know what we would auction off or what it would be for, if it would be for charity or whatever, but I do like that idea. Send thoughts, everybody.
Yeah, that sounds cool. I like a silent auction, but a live auction could be fun too. I just imagine you talking like really fast.
No, we're not doing it.
Just I'm doing not that, doing like, it. And it's I got tough 400. I got 300. I got
dude, that's like a high skill job. I don't know how to do that. Also, I mean, just from like an acoustic standpoint, like we've got a lot to figure out with the panels. The first day panel, was great and not everybody could hear it well enough. And the second day panel was heard better. So how do we improve that? And now we got an auctioneer like jabbering over the top of everybody. We might keep it silent. But again, send DMs. What would you even want to see in there, right? Like, what would you want to bid on? I love this one. Past Thunderdome winning pairs display. Just basically have everybody send in their boots and make this really cool display out of it. You don't have to miss them for like a couple weeks.
That's a really cool idea. I think people would really love to see a display of that. See kind of a little exhibit of top Thunderdome pairs as kind of an aspirational thing of seeing those in person. That's cool. Yeah.
I'd love to see them all.
Yeah, I want to see that.
And then we could do like a really cool photo shoot with them. And I love the idea because I have all the Japanese like boot magazines and stuff. Like if you get them all together, maybe we could get like a little feature in there. I think that Ooh. Would make my boot life for sure.
Yeah, that would be cool. That'd be tight.
Bunch of descriptions that I wouldn't be able to read. Kind of vaguely considered this. Hopefully everybody liked the playlist, which Ava from the production team and myself put together. I thought it was pretty banging. But there have been requests for live music, maybe outside. Should we just kind of have a concert? Should we turn this into also a music festival? Is that distracting? After hours, you know?
Yeah, after hours. You know, there's so many people in the community that are musicians. Boot community music festival, you know, in that courtyard during the after party. That sounds cool. That sounds tight. I'd love to see that. Like a little bit of a talent show, but just everybody's like probably extremely talented.
I think we got to do that, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Why not? And Industry City is just so game for kind of anything, especially outside in the courtyard. They love it because it, like, especially with all the talented people, you know, it kind of gives to the whole thing. We didn't have total dominion over this courtyard. We definitely filled it up with people after the event both days. And shout out to Big Alice Brewing, where we had a party one night that Thursday Boots sponsored, which was fabulous. And then Gun Hill Brewing and Fort Hamilton Distillery, which are all just in the same place. And I think that it could use a little liveliness. If anybody plays salsa music, we got a whole bunch of people who would love to dance extremely well to it. All these things need to be worked on and figured out. We've got a year to do it and a much better sense of what like the core existing event is and can be and how it can expand. It's all a ton of work, turns out, putting these things on. But that part's fairly easy to see. I think it's just really like, what does everybody want? We can't do it all. We can't promise everything will get done exactly the way that every single individual wants it. But we want to continue to hear ideas on this. And it can obviously be about that core experience. It can be about the community. It can be about brands and products and what they represent and making things and maybe making things yourself. Like, I mean, I guess I'm kind of putting him on blast here, but this was his idea. Like, I mean, Jesse from Guarded Goods, you know, is considering coming next year, but maybe giving a little class. We actually batted that around with Tim Titletown, co-founder of the Thunderdome, runs Titletown Goods, leather goods shop up in Green Bay. And we talked about it and collaborating with Seidel, who also was trying to make it, but timing didn't work out with their leather. How do we do that kind of stuff? I think could be pretty cool in ways that are tangential, but not directly related to the footwear even, but like obviously leather is kind of part and parcel of all this. So we want to work on it all, but yeah, I mean, seriously, like shoot me an email, ben@sitchdown.com. DMs, hit them up in the Discord and the bootcamp channel. Like, what do people want to see? And by golly, we're going to try and make it happen. You too. Anything you think of, TJ, just...
I'll email you.
Just email me.
Yeah.
You don't email
me
enough.
Keep it official.
We'll have a record of it.
Yeah, keep track of this stuff. A special shout out to you. You put on a great event. I think a ton of people had a great time. We all really enjoyed it. It was really a special couple days for me. I think everybody's looking forward to next year that was there. And I think probably a lot of people who were like, maybe on the fence about coming or just couldn't make it for whatever reason. Well, now it looks like you already have the date for it and everything. So people can kind of block that out. And, you know, I think next year is going to be great too. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be there.
All right. Send those boots early. Earlier. You did everything right.
Yeah.
And it still took a miracle. But guess what? It happened. That's how it goes at this thing. Just boot camp miracles left and right. Got to call it somewhere. Huge thanks to Nyx for sponsoring the episode. Definitely check out the Discord. You know, whether you kind of met some people from it or have no idea what I'm talking about, but swing by stitchdown.com and check it out because it is, especially if you're considering coming to this event next year, just a great way to get to know people before it and in general and make friends every day. In terms of everything that we just talked about, it's just like, thank you for everybody who came from wherever and thought that this was a good idea and a fun thing to do. And I hope that you felt that way during, after all of it. Obviously, thank you to all the exhibitors who also came from all over the world. It's not easy to get all their stuff and people and everything to New York, but they did it and they just put on an absolute hell of a show. Industry City, volunteers, production team, everybody. God, I'm like just eternally thankful for all of it, because without any of those components, this thing either wouldn't have happened or, you know, wouldn't have been very good. So I had very little to do with any of it. And I'm thrilled that everybody who made it what it was and will be next year for everything. So yeah, Bootcamp 2024, October 13th and 14th in Industry City, Brooklyn. Mark it. Do it. I dare you. I promise it'll be fun and even bigger and better. Good stuff, Teach. Appreciate you just in general, but also in terms of this event and also in terms of this particular podcast and the podcast in general.
I appreciate you too, man. I did make you do this. You didn't really want to because you thought it was too navel-gazy or whatever your problem with it was, but it was too good of an event not to talk about. I had too many cool things I wanted to say. The best way to find time to tell it to you in person was just to record it. So,
all right, you did it. You did it. Oh, everybody go check out the YouTube recap video that we have on our YouTube channel, which I do like and is pretty fun. And I think it's very representative of this thing. Like, you can kind of make one of those for any event and make it look cool, but I think it actually nailed it. Bradley, Jeff, you guys are great. All right, done. That's it for this week. Take care of your shoes. We'll see you next time.